From a distance, Jonathan Schwartz led a charmed life. His father, Arthur Schwartz, composed some of the most memorable tunes in the Great American Songbook. Dancing in the Dark, That's Entertainment, By Myself. Judy Garland sang Over the Rainbow to baby Jonathan as a lullaby. As a child, he played sandlot baseball with Jackie Robinson and croquet with Carly and Lucy Simon. As an adult, he partied with Frank Sinatra, sang in saloons in Paris, London, and New York, and for more than 35 years, his radio shows attracted a faithful New York audience. Jonathan Schwartz's new memoir, All in Good Time, brings us closer to the real story, the glamorous, beautiful, but sickly mother who died when he was young, a painful break with his father, his loneliness, his alcoholism, and his moments of despair. Jonathan Schwartz is at NPR West, and he joins us. How nice it is to talk to you.
Hey, Leanne, you can imagine what it means to me to talk to you.
I'm very flattered. And in retrospect, having, you know, had to dredge up a lot of your life to write this memoir, what would you consider an asset of being the son of Arthur Schwartz?
The music that I heard from infancy, the Tchaikovsky Pathétique, Long Ago and Far Away, by Jerome Kern, a beautiful melody, actually that my father's responsible for by hiring Jerome Kern, which I've always looked upon as one of the big mistakes in his life. I mean, he could have written a score with Ira Gershwin. It was melody, distinguished, unvulgar melody, that I think was the greatest contribution made to my childhood by being the son of Arthur Schwartz.
Let's talk about Frank Sinatra. Your first encounter?
Paris, La Tour d'Argent, a beautiful restaurant overlooking Notre Dame. I found myself at a cocktail party for the editor and, in fact, founder of Variety, the showbiz Bible. Abel Green was his name. And I turned, and in the archway stood Sinatra alone. He was to give a concert that night at the Olympia, and I was stunned, obviously, and he made his way. Abel Green ran to his assistance and was eventually introduced to me. And Leanne, I just lost it. I lost it because I'm one of those determined lunatics about the music. And I said, why are there two versions of To Love and To Be Loved out? One is 3:56, the other is 3 minutes 22 seconds. And the first one came out as a 45, and that then was withdrawn by Capitol Records. And why did... And he just turned away from me, as you yourself would. Hmm. I went to the concert, and at the end of the concert, we went backstage, and Sinatra was there, being effusively greeted in all languages. But when he saw me, he said, "Hello, Inspector." he was a terrific guy. I mean, you know, was he mean and was he vile? Yeah. But it's not on those records. Hmm. And to say, "Hello, Inspector," to me... You know, that's really lovely.
You played his, later on when you were doing your radio show on WNEW,
yeah.
You played, he had a recording out called Trilogy,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't really happy with the third one, and boy, he wasn't very happy with what you had to say about it.
That's very true. He's also a friend of the man who owned the company that owned the station, a man named John Kluge. Sinatra called up Kluge and said, "Rack-a-tack-a, rack-a-tack-a, rack-a-tack." Kluge called the general manager of WNEW and said, "Rack-a-tucka, rack-a-tucka, rack-a-tucka." And I got a call from that man who said, "Rack-a-tucka, rack-a-tucka, you're off the air, rack-a-tucka." "Why am I off the air?" "Sinatra." "Well, what do you mean?" I knew full well. I pretended I didn't know. But I had said that the third record of Trilogy was a narcissistic mess.
"My name is Francis Albert." "And I sing love songs."
When I first heard it, I just lowered my head in shame, which I essentially said on the radio. Didn't catch his fancy.
It is interesting, though, another story you tell is in the recording We Small Hours, and the sixth song on the recording is I See Your Face Before Me, and you just said, "My father wrote that." We wrote the sixth song on Frank Sinatra's
mm-hmm.
album. Mm-hmm. You also say Carly Simon described him as a father figure. And
yeah.
To a certain extent, you said he was to you. In what way?
Somehow, he was more present than my father, Arthur. Hmm. He was present because his music was on all the time. And some of it was my father's, so what a mix-up that must have been for me. When they came together, when Sinatra sang my father's songs, you know, it was confusing for a 13-year-old, 12-year-old.
It was very hard on you after your mother died, your father remarried, and the woman was not very good for you, for your self-esteem. I mean, she, you know, I'm not going to use the words that she uses, that you have in the book, but obviously, I mean, she kind of took the idea of the wicked stepmother to the hilt. And you were estranged from your father, mainly because of that. I mean, you just got real tired of being put down by this woman, and you split up. Then you tell this very poignant story, and it has to do with radio. You used to listen to Jim Gordon on WABC, and he did a talk show, like a call-in show, but they couldn't broadcast the callers' voices. I guess the technology wasn't up to speed, so the Jim would repeat what the caller had said. And you regularly called in. Explain what happened one night when you heard another caller call in.
I, during an estrangement from my father, heard him say, "You say that ASCAP is the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, that my father was on the board of, and it protects to this day his estate and his money. They were doing vicious battle with a new outfit that did the same thing, BMI, Broadcast Music Incorporated, that the networks started. They started it because of ASCAP's own arrogance in the 40s. ASCAP said, well, we won't reach an agreement with radio stations. You can't play ASCAP music. In any event, my father was richly embroiled in this. There was a lawsuit going, and he had enlisted Alan J. Lerner and Ira Gershwin and Dick Rogers and Oscar Hammerstein. And I realized that Jim Gordon was talking to an Arthur Schwartz awake at 3 o'clock in the morning over in his apartment. Just on an impulse, I called about 7 or 8 minutes later, and I said, "Jim, it's Jonathan." I was very well known for talking Celtic basketball with Jim Gordon, Jimmy, as I called him. I told Jimmy into his ear, "That fellow who called about ASCAP, I think that was my father." So Jim says, "Well, this is Jonathan, who says the fellow who called about ASCAP, Jonathan thinks that's his father." And then I say to Jim, "If it was, would you ask him to call his son?" And Jim repeated that, and we hung up. And he continued his program, and about 10 of 4 in the morning, my father called me. We talked until dawn, and began a new relationship. But it was not a relationship that included any visits of mine to his apartment where my stepmother was.
We love to go out of our own interviews with a song in our hearts. I'm going to leave it up to you. We can play some music after this interview. What do you want to hear?
Why don't you play Sinatra's "I See Your Face Before Me" from the album "In the Wee Small Hours," because we've talked about it.
I'll do that. Jonathan Schwartz, his new memoir is called All in Good Time, published by Random House. His radio show can be heard on WNYC as well as XM Satellite Radio. He joined us from NPR West. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Leanne, thank you.
I see your face before me, crowding my every dream. There is your face before me. You are my only theme. Would that my love could haunt you so, knowing I want you so. I can't erase your beautiful face before me.
For an extended version of the conversation with Jonathan Schwartz, visit our website at npr.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Phil Harrell, with production help from Neil Carruth, Ned Wharton, Andy Lyman, and David Rector. Stu Seidel is the senior editor. The senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Burke Kahn, with audio engineers Ted Mebain and Greg Gavin. Our reference librarian is Key Molesky. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith. I'm Leanne Hansen.